charge here. That's what the rules are.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 202, Jamie.
Can you believe it?
We are only 98 episodes away from episode 300. Give it up. Yes.
Only 98.
Yes. Welcome. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran, The Morning Show. That, of course, is Jamie from Light FM. And we've got a review of the mid-third season finale. So 11, part A. The A block is done.
A block, yes.
People are so confused. I've seen it called the season finale, the mid-season finale. Not a lot of news sources have gotten it right. But we are here to get it right. forgive Jamie. She's got Legionnaire's disease. What do you got?
Yeah, something like that. So my voice is...
Bubonic plague?
It's a little funky today. I apologize.
Rheumatoid arthritis? Something like that.
Some virus.
Her ass is not broken, which is good. If you don't know what that means, go back and listen to episodes, I don't know, 50 to 100. Somewhere in there, I think Jamie broke her ass.
I literally tore it.
She did. Okay, so we have a lot of news. I'm going to go easy on Jamie, keep her stories to a minimum because she's all poor dang there. Okay, so big news, the Walking Dead anthology spinoff series, Tales of the Walking Dead, is officially greenlit by AMC, and it'll premiere summer of 2022. So Ooh. It'll be 6 episodes, each an hour long, each a standalone episode, and they will focus on new and formerly established characters set in the world of the original Walking Dead series. So, Jamie, we're going to see new characters, which is fine, but who would you want to see that is no longer with us, or maybe is with us? Well, the show's going to end around the same time, but who would you like to see a standalone episode, a little backstory?
Ooh, I would like to see one on Aaron.
On Aaron?
Yeah.
You mean when he was boring, quiet, and had Eric as his boyfriend?
I'm kind of curious about him a little bit.
All right. I'm not.
Also Pope.
Well, yeah.
He's crazy.
I would like to see like the Reapers in combat, or at least when the war first broke out and they were killing people.
Also Beta.
Beta, yeah, as a country western singer?
Yeah, I want to see that.
All right, because we already saw his history. But
I want to see like him up on stage.
Okay, you just want to see Ryan Hurst. That's not
I do. Okay, really okay. Walking All right, Dead you related. Found me out.
I think Eastman is scheduled to be one of the episodes, or at least there was a rumor he might be the guy who trained Morgan to use his stick.
I just really quick. So, do you know the show Big Sky on ABC?
You love that show, and he's on it.
Yes, and do you
I
know?
I listen
what's
to the podcast.
Interesting though. So he was on that. He's on that show. Spoiler: his character was killed off. He came back as his twin brother, and his thing on that show now that just premiered this week is the exact stick that Eastman holds, and he uses it as a weapon on
wow.
Big Sky, just like Eastman. I was like, oh, I think that's a nod.
So I'm not going to say what I just saw in the movies. Well, okay. I'm sorry, it wasn't in the movie. Well, it was in the movies, and it was on HBO Max. If that's a clue, but
okay.
A character dies. And then the rest of the movie, you deal with his twin brother you didn't know he had. So the actor
what?
Gets to keep the job. No, he knew he had it. We didn't know.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting.
Well, no different than what you just told me.
Well, yeah, but I just thought
it's the same thing. It's the same. Yeah. Okay. I did see James Bond, No Time to Die, and I was reminded that Rami Malek was good in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah. He was fantastic.
And he was very good in Mr. Robot.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but I definitely saw Bohemian
But this
Rhapsody.
Movie reminded me I liked him in those movies.
Okay.
I don't like him in this one. And
really?
I don't like him in anything I've seen after Bohemian Rhapsody. He was
really?
Okay in Night at the Museum because he played a weird guy. So here's what I'll say about the Bond film. It was 2 hours and 40-something minutes. It was long. It seems like it should have been 3 hours and 30 minutes, 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
And that they cut out a lot of good parts. And that they cut out plot points. Because there's a lot going on in that movie, and this is a Walking Dead podcast, I apologize. But there's a lot going on in that movie where you go, I don't understand why that other guy would do that. Why would he care? And why would he... So no spoilers, I'm not giving anything away. It just seems like they took out the explanation parts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But don't get there late, because the opening 15 minutes is fantastic.
Really? Okay, that's on my list.
Well, okay, this is movie related. We could talk about movies here on the Walking Dead podcast. We're in our third centennial of episodes, right? Third century. No,
yes.
Century? No. Yeah.
Third.
Yeah. right? Third century, zero, the 100, and then the 200th. Yes. Third century. So I was running late to the movies, and my friend bought the tickets, and the movie started, let's say at 9 o'clock on a weekend.
Okay.
And my nav said 9:18. So I said, look, go in, leave my ticket at the front with the whoever, ticket taker, whoever, or just tell them whatever. Tell them my name, and I'll check in, and just go. And if I'm late, I'm late. You'll tell me what I missed. And I didn't want to be late because I knew that the opening scene was going to be extravagant.
Oh.
I got into my seat at 9:25. The trailers were still going.
Stop. Are you serious?
Yes. I mean, rarely am I serious, but I'm serious.
But that's a lot of trailers. A
lot of trailers. So I still saw a couple of trailers. Oh, we'll talk about Trailer Guy this week. Oh, my God. All right. So let me tell you what else is going on. In The Walking Dead this season, season 11, you're going to see, especially in the first 8 episodes that were filmed during the hardcore part of the pandemic, or the initial part when they started filming again, a lot of digital enhancements have been made to the walkers and large crowds.
Wow.
Because they couldn't have a lot of people crammed together.
Yeah.
Some of the masks are screen printed. So I guess they put the ink and the blood and the coloring.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah. So Angela Kang says, anytime you're seeing stuff with crowds, even when it's human crowds at the Commonwealth, there's often digital enhancement happening that we wouldn't always have done normally.
Interesting. That's fascinating. Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. This is big. Angela, I don't want to, you know what? I'm going to save this because it's an Angela Kang comment about the episode. Remind me when we talk about right after Pope is killed, spoiler, Pope is killed.
Oh, spoiler.
Angela commented on what happened next, and I want to talk about that later.
Okay.
Insider.com, my good friend who I've never met, Kirsten Acuna, interviewed Angela Kang about Sebastian, Pamela Milton's son, who I told you plays a big role in the comics. And she asked her, just like he is in the comics, he's obnoxious, but you can't do an exact adaptation of his comic arc, which I mentioned because the people involved aren't on the show anymore.
Yes, you used to say that.
She said, should we expect his story to follow a lot of the comic or no? I guess I'm wondering, why introduce Sebastian if his comic foil is no longer on the show?
Hmm.
Should our heroes, who aren't the person that was being referenced, be concerned about being in scenes with him? I'm not sure how much you guys are veering away from the comics. Angela Kang responded, just because a certain person is out of the picture, you can't do an exact adaptation of it, but we really love Sebastian and his shittiness. So there's definitely going to be an arc for his character. He's clearly an antagonist.
Oh, completely. Already he is.
Yeah. So even if he doesn't do the thing he did, or he does something similar, he's still going to be a vital asshole to the plot.
He's still a shitty person.
He's a shitty person. Exactly. You know what, Jamie? I'm going to give your voice a break. You don't have anything. Did you have anything? No, you didn't, because you sent me your stories. I just did them.
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
I forgot you gave me the two stories already, the spinoff story and the shittiness Sebastian story.
Yes.
So, yeah, sorry about that. I'm like, I knew you had stories, but you gave them to me. I did them. My bad. I stole them, even though you wanted me to. You did want me to.
Actually, you did me a favor.
Tell the audience you wanted me to. Otherwise, they're going to be like, oh, he stole. I didn't steal.
No steal. It helped me out.
Okay. I don't want to sound like Jerry Seinfeld. There's no steal.
It wasn't a steal.
All right. So a lot came out this week. If you have AMC Plus, you've got The Walking Dead, the finale, but the mid-season part one finale.
Yes.
World Beyond episodes 2 and 3 are available. And Fear came out already.
A lot came out.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I have not watched episode 3 of World Beyond, and I have not watched Fear yet. So just watching episode 2 of World Beyond, which I'm hoping to do in our bonus episode this week, if we have time. If not, what we'll do is we'll review it next week late. And I apologize, but it's a hectic week, and poor Jamie's not feeling well.
I apologize, yes.
Did you like the World Beyond episode?
It was a little slow, but it was, I feel like you kind of needed some of that story.
Yeah. And I feel like with such a small cast, none of the stars of the show can die yet.
No, not yet. Yeah. It's too small.
Right. Even though it's only a 2-season show, I feel like one of the sisters may die. They may all die, you know, like wipe them all out, which is why the show doesn't continue.
Yeah.
You know, dying for the cause or something. I don't know. Like shutting down CRM, blowing the place up with them in it. Something heroic.
They deserve it.
CRM?
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about The Walking Dead. And okay. We'll talk about Talking Dead. because there was a bombshell announced unofficially by Scott M. Gimple.
Scott M. Gimple.
Okay, The Walking Dead episode For Blood. We're at Meridian, and the Reapers are watching Maggie's herd of walkers circling in a weird pattern. They say they've never seen that before, and Pope says, there's a reason for everything. And he asks Daryl if he ever saw anything like that. Anything like that with the rotters. He calls them rotters.
He doesn't miss a beat, Pope,
no.
Man.
He's like, something's up, and I'm not just buying it. Although he misses Daryl's lies completely.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So Daryl says some lies that he saw some walkers act like that in the South somewhere, which is a way to explain it and go, no, sometimes they do that, which you're the only one that's ever seen them do that, apparently.
I was going to say, yeah, sometimes they do that. Okay.
Daryl volunteers to lead them away. He's like, I've done that before. I'll lead them away. And Carver says, well, that's less balls, meaning like Carver wanted to fight him. And Pope says to them, we're going to do this his way, Daryl's way, and then says, Wells should do it. Sacrificial Wells.
Yes.
Daryl's like, I want to go. He says, no, he can handle it. And I said to myself, no, he can't. No, he can't. He's not going to be able. We know he's going to die. Thanks, trailer guy. We saw him surrounded by walkers.
I know.
And they don't have a mic. They don't have a motorcycle to lead them away. And apparently they have no vehicles to lead them away. Nothing. Not a horse.
You would think they had something. Gosh.
Nothing.
A bicycle, something.
So he leads them into the woods down a very narrow path for some reason. Why you wouldn't lead them into the woods where you could, like, duck away? You're down a path where they have to follow you, right? And they're going to see you if you try to get away. So he's on the walkie-talkie, and he says, everything's good. Everything's good. They're following me. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, very cocky for a moment there.
Yes, and just as he starts to get cocky, another herd comes up from behind him because Maggie and Negan are leading the two halves. Now, how he didn't see the other half circled back around and cut him off, I don't know.
Also, he had left and right to just run, and he didn't.
Right. Why he didn't run to the other side, run into the forest, get away.
Exactly.
So for some reason, he doesn't run away, and he thinks he can kill them all by himself.
I don't think so. Too many there. He killed too many walkers in the herd.
Yeah, he killed about six of them, and then he got Jesus'd. Not
yes!
Jesus,
oh my God.
The character.
I said the same thing. I was watching it, and I said to my mom, I'm like, oh, my God, just like when Jesus died, but not like Jesus.
Our whisperers stabbed the crap out of him and threw him to the walkers, and they ate him.
Ooh, that was bad death.
And then Negan and Maggie walk away like, yeah, badass Negan and Maggie. So that was before the credits. Come back after the credits. There's a storm in Alexandria, but of course there is.
And it's a bad storm.
Badass storm.
Badass story.
Of course, the door to the house. Now, this is where I have to call bullshit. Now, there's people in all the houses, right?
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of people at Alexandria, decent amount. They might, like Jerry's family must be in a house, right? There's other people. But we only see the house that has a bad door. And they say there's a bad door. And Magna goes, oh, yeah, the door's rotting away. Well, first of all, how's the door rotting away? These are new,
new houses.
It's new construction. How's the door rotting away? But even if it was, if you knew the door was rotting away, why wouldn't you all play like the little piggies and run to the next house? Right? Why wouldn't you just go to Jerry's house?
Go to Jerry's house where there's a solid door.
Jerry! Yeah, why would you stay there with the broken door? I don't get that. So the wind blows the door open and a tree limb comes through the window and they see a piece of the wall of Alexandria flying down the street.
Rut-row.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, you like that?
That's really good.
It's better than my walkers. I do Scooby. Rare. A reason to a rents. Okay.
Wow.
Ruby Rack. I'm an only child. I just sat in front of the TV and did cartoon voices. You know that.
That's really good.
Yeah, I did Scooby and Scoob. And I do a Grover. You know, this is near.
Oh, I love Grover. He's my
and
favorite.
This is far. This is near. And this is far.
He's my favorite Sesame Street character.
He's my
favorite,
too. You know, you probably know this. People listening
Super
know this.
Grover.
The voice actor and original puppet of Grover, Frank Oz, we've talked about this, haven't we? Is also the voice actor for Miss Piggy and Yoda.
Yes, yes, you did say that
right.
One time. It's coming back
to me
now.
Right, so if you can do Grover, you can do Miss Piggy, and you can do Yoda.
Wow.
Because it's very slight variations of Frank Oz.
Oh my God, I love it.
So there you go. So back to the Reapers. They can't get Wells on the walkie because Maggie and Negan took the walkie.
He dead.
Leah wants to go after him, and Pope says it's no use. He's already dead. Pope don't care. Pope don't care about anybody.
Are you not ashamed?
Are you not ashamed? He acts like he cares, but he doesn't really care.
Yeah, he really doesn't give him. He degaffs right now.
Leah says she sees Wells often kill dozens of rotters at a time, and Pope says, they didn't kill him. She did. My enemy.
God damn, he was on that shit real
Leah
fast.
Then realizes what just happened and says, you knew she was out there and you sent Wells out there to die? He says he was a soldier, and she says he was family, which is a constant theme with her, by the way.
Very much so.
Pope says God decided his fate, and she says, no, you did. Like, don't pull this God card on me. You sent them out there. He says Leah has an awful lot to say since her boyfriend arrived. Pope says to her, because of my brother's bravery, we now know the enemy's close, and they will not escape this time. You couldn't figure out the enemy was close? You couldn't figure out the horde of walkers coming at you?
Seriously, right?
Yeah. Back at Alexandria, Aaron says they need three teams. One to put out the fire that's burning by the windmill. One to repair the wall, which I don't know how you do that in a storm with walkers coming through it.
Too hard.
And one team to protect everyone in the house, the kids and whatnot. And there's a woman that I didn't recognize, so I thought she'd be dead. That's Barbara. Barbara is an original Alexandrian who, when they arrived, she said, oh, I was hoping you guys had a dentist with you.
Oh, my. I can't even place her. Isn't that terrible?
She had redder hair.
Red hair.
Yeah.
But not quite a red
and
shirt.
Allegedly,
she made it
according to the article I read, she's been in 20 episodes.
What?
So maybe she dies protecting Judith and Gracie. But how much longer can she stay on?
Seriously. And Diane, too.
Yeah. And Diane. And what's it? Diane was from Alexandria?
She was with the Kingdom, I think. And she...
Oh, Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Kingdom. Kingdom. She was Kingdom.
Kingdom.
You know who's been around, also who's been around a long time from Alexandria, is Sidney Gorbatton Green's husband.
Yes, he has been around
What's
a
his
long
name?
Time. I cannot remember right now.
It's Scott. He played Scott. Okay. Yeah, he's still alive. He can't possibly make it to the end of season 11, right? He's got to go.
Maybe he flies under the radar. I mean, they've kept him around this long.
Exactly. Judith says she wants to go and help. I want to go help. Right, little brat. And Carol tells her to stay, and she says, I'm not afraid. And Carol says, I need you to stay with the kids and keep them safe and make them not afraid. That is the equivalent of Carl stay in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Judith had the look on her face like, you're treating me like a little child. On the flip side, Gracie says, she doesn't want Aaron to go. She's scared.
Oh, yeah. She didn't want Daddy to leave.
Right. So Judith offers to stay with Gracie, which is that's what they wanted her to do. Because Gracie's not the smartest. Gracie's,
we'll see that.
Gracie's so pretty. Gracie's
oh,
so
you're
pretty.
So pretty.
Right. She's not the smartest. I have a feeling, I'd hate for anything to happen to her. Then Aaron comes back and something happened
God,
to Gracie.
I hope not. He would be destroyed. He's lost everybody.
I don't think you could kill Gracie. I think the last time you killed little girls was Look at the Flowers. Right? Look at the Flowers was way after Carol's daughter.
Oh, yeah. Carol's daughter was season two.
Right. Well, Look at the Flowers was four, five? Five. Because
look
it
at
was
the Flowers, Lizzie.
Four. Yeah. Lizzie's dead, by the way. And so is her sister. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
A scout comes back for the Reapers and tells them the Rotters are all gone. And Pope says, but she's not. And then asks Daryl what he knows about Maggie. Again. He says, not much. Pope says to him, then why am I keeping you around? And Daryl says, you said God chose me. Like, remember that whole God thing?
That was a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
Because that's, yeah.
Yeah. Pope tells Daryl a story about how he took in a stray dog. And the thing about stray dogs is they will either lick your hand or bite it. Daryl says, don't worry, I'm not going to lick you. And Pope laughs. He says, well, one day the dog bit me and it hurt like hell. And it wasn't very pleasant when I had to strangle him to death.
He tells, my God, the visual.
And he tells Daryl, don't bite me either.
I laughed out loud
at
this.
Daryl says, Maggie's a great shot. And that's how she probably took out Wells. She usually has a lookout in the trees. So that's all a lie. We don't know Maggie's a great shot. He doesn't know Maggie's a great
shot.
He
also said, don't worry, I'm not going to lick you either.
he did, yeah. Well, he didn't lick him, though.
It's just so funny the way he said it.
Yeah. Are you telling me that? Or are you just repeating it?
No, I'm just saying that's what he said to Pope.
Right, I said he said that.
Oh, I didn't hear you say it.
Yeah, I said it. That's why I said Pope laughed.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
That's okay. You're that? You're right there?
I'm a little under the weather. I'm fine. I'm just hallucinating.
That's okay. You're like Hope from last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole scene was a hallucination.
There's a little redheaded girl standing under my face.
With that, the herd comes back. Pope laughs and says, Maggie, he says she, but he means Maggie, has figured out a way to turn the dead against the living. which is weird because the dead are already against the living. But he means, like, use them as a weapon.
Yes, exactly.
Daryl asked how strong the fences are, and he says, strong enough, but they won't get that far, and explosives, landmines, start going off. Some walkers are blown to bits, but obviously the leads of the show aren't.
Nope. And I thought at this point, I'm like, Daryl's probably semi-shitting his pants right now.
Right, because he's like, oh my God, my friends are out
he's
there.
He's like, oh shit.
On the other hand, he's seen
them.
The show. He knows they're not going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Gracie tells Judith she wishes she was more like her because she's never scared. And Judith says, I'm scared sometimes. You can use fear. The way you run faster when you're scared, it also makes you fight better. I'm thinking to myself, it's going to get Gracie killed. You're going to pump her up with a lot of false bravado.
Oh, no.
And you're going to get her killed. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that seems like that's what you're doing. Like, Judith, let her be afraid. Virgil tells Judith that her mom would be proud of her. And when she asked where her mom went, he says, I don't know. Now, did he tell Judith she went to look for Rick?
No, I don't think so.
Right. He still hasn't told her.
And I was like, what are you not saying anything for?
Although I think if he tells Judith that she went to look for Rick, she'd have every reason to kill him. Because if he tells anyone else, they'll leave. Like Uncle Daryl will go looking.
They'll all leave.
Right. And she doesn't want him to do that. So he might say, like, shut your mouth. Don't say ixnay on the Rick thing. Don't
Shutty.
Shut up on the what was it she calls him? The good man?
She calls Virgil that?
No, she calls Rick. The
Oh yeah. Oh God, that's a throwback.
She doesn't call him her father. Oh, I think it's the good man. Doesn't matter. Don't tweet us.
Something like that.
I'll Google it later. Anyway, Judith says she wishes her mom was there, and Virgil says she is. The way you hold your sword, the way you're willing to run into the storm, the way you help the other kids, and you can bet wherever she is, you are with her. Okay, Disney Channel. All right.
You know what? I thought that for a minute. I'm like, all right, this is kind of sap.
Right. It was very world beyond.
Very. I actually had that in my head, too. I'm like, this is a little Disney, yeah.
A walker reaches through the window and grabs Gracie. And Judith cuts his hand off. She and Virgil kill the two walkers by the window. So Gracie is safe for the moment. For the moment. Back to the Reapers. Pope gives some insane speech about how every war has sacrifice. And they are still there. And they will win. They are the chosen ones. Blah, blah, blah. At some point, I'm like, shut up.
He likes to hear himself talk.
You're the chosen ones, but your people are dropping like flies, dude. You're a leader. You killed your own guy in the fire after he let another guy die. Then Father Gabriel killed the guy nobody even mentions.
Oh, God.
Right? Nobody mentions that guy. because Father Gabriel cut that guy's neck, right? Cut his throat. Stabbed the hell out of him.
Yeah, in the woods.
So it wasn't the same guy from the shopping mall.
No.
So that's a plot hole right there. That's like the James Bond movie where they just took out something. You're like, whoa, what happened? What's going
on
there?
Where's the explanation?
Daryl spots what looks like two people in Whisperer masks, which turn out to be Maggie and Father Gabriel, in the herd going off to the side. So Daryl goes and walks the perimeter of the fence where he thinks Maggie and Father Gabriel are, and he runs into his old cigarette buddy, the guy who was by the supply shack.
Yep.
And he says, hey, man, you want a cigarette? They got out of nowhere. He's like, oh, I'm walking the perimeter. They told me to walk the perimeter.
Yeah.
They told me to come here. No, they didn't. And nobody notices he walked off or where he went. They only notice when he comes back, right?
Oh, my God.
So he offers the guy another cigarette. And the guy's like, yeah, I quit. How many times have I quit? I got to quit again. You're addicting me to these cigarettes again. And
Daryl's like, what does it matter? Come on.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't worry about it. Smoke it up. The guy goes to take a cigarette. And Daryl deliberately drops the matches. And when the guy goes to pick him up, Daryl takes out his serrated knife and stabs him in the neck.
Damn, right in the jugular.
And then throws the body over the fence.
Woo.
Daryl tells Maggie and Father Gabriel which way to go. Daryl breaks the lock off the ammunition. The building that they have to go into.
Yes.
So they can get in. A landmine goes off and Negan and Elijah are hit with shrapnel. And of course, Elijah is hit worse.
I know.
He's not Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
No, he's not.
Poor guy's gotten hung, and he's gotten
poor
shrapnel.
Man.
No, not that kind of hung, Jamie.
No, I know.
Okay. All right.
Oh, God.
Yeah, again, not that kind.
Okay.
So Daryl comes back holding arrows, and Leah says, where have you been? He goes, oh, I was going to get some arrows. But he didn't tell anybody he was going to get arrows. So for this, I had to put the subtitles on. Again, because they mumble. the subtitles are still a second and a half, roughly, ahead of the action.
Really?
It's horrible. So, what, like when Maggie's in the car, she's going to start the car, she's going to hotwire the car.
Yeah.
And the Reaper walks by, she's still fumbling under the car, and it says, car starts.
It didn't start. Car starts.
So, here's what Pope was saying to Leah at that point. He says, tell him to get ready, to ready the watcha. The watcha. But he says, tell him to ready the watcha.
I know. I rewound it three times. I'm like, what the hell is he saying?
Right. It was one of three or four scenes where you could not make out what they were mumbling.
Yeah, they're
Maggie
mumbling.
Mumbled to Father Gabriel when they first came in through the garbage hole. So I had to put the subtitles on there too. So the Huacha is that weapon. It's a multi-rocket or arrow launcher.
Firework looking thing.
Yeah. Daryl has no idea what a Huacha is. And Leah says, that's how we're going to end this thing. Well, I don't know if there's enough rockets there to end this thing, but okay.
But that was bad.
Maggie confirms that Father Gabriel knows where he's going, right? Second floor, make a left, blah, blah. She says, go get the food, and then we'll get out of here.
How is he single-handedly supposed to carry all that food alone?
I don't know. I do not have a clue how, like, what, like a sack of food?
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, well, what the hell's he getting? For all those people, the whole community, you single-handedly, sir, are supposed to get all this? I don't know.
And they have no mode of transportation. She hadn't hot-wired the car yet.
No.
All right. So Maggie and Father Gabriel come up through a garbage hole, and he says, it smells awful. And she says, which I had to put the captioning on, something to the effect of, this is all the crap they can't use. It's garbage. That's why it smells so bad. That's why nobody's here. So I guess that was like the unwanted food they haven't thrown out yet.
Yeah.
Down the chute they just come out of. Let's take a break. We'll get back to Rosita going ham, so to speak.
Oh, she did.
She did. And we'll do that. We'll come back right after this.
Hey, it's Sarah Wayne Callies. I played Lori on The Walking Dead. And you're listening to Walkers and Talkers with David Brody and Jamie. Be safe, everybody. And stay in the house like Carl should have.
All right. The door, the rusted out door, the rotted out door, rather, is not holding up well, as predicted. So Rosita says, I'm going to go buy us some time. And she grabs her weapon, which is a flat spiked, it's just like a chainsaw blade.
Yeah, that's it looks like a chainsaw blade with a handle or something.
And there's a lot of walkers on the porch. She kills all of them. Then she sees more approaching the porch and jumps in like, I'm going. Like, Rosita.
Damn.
Badass Rosita. She's fighting like Iris now on World Beyond.
She's a badass.
That's how badass she is. She's almost Iris level. She comes back in a couple of minutes later. The door opens and she's sort of like almost silhouetted.
Yeah.
And strikes a superhero pose. You know, like a horror movie, like, stance?
It did look very like a horror movie stance. Like, I just got him.
I just killed them all. You're like a Clint Eastwood 1970s kind of.
That's exactly what it looked like.
They're all dead. Some kind of catchphrase, you know? I saw them, and then I sawed them.
Oh, God. I wish she said that.
Oh, great. I just made that up, so.
That's amazing.
Somebody else could have thought of it. Okay. Father Gabriel is limping around upstairs in that building. He finds a secret compartment in a closet. They never show again what was in the closet, in case you're wondering. Remember, Meridian used to be Maggie's group's place.
Yes.
That secret door in that room, Maggie hid the rifle that Father Gabriel has later.
Oh, I was wondering what was in there.
Right. It wasn't food. They made it look like that's where the food was hidden, but why would you hide food in the closet if you're the Reapers? So what was in the closet? It was the weapon. Now, they probably didn't have time to take the weapon because they got chased out. But why didn't they use the weapon to protect themselves? Huh?
You think they would.
And how did the Reapers get in over the wall? And how did they get out? I need to see
so
that
So many
episode.
Questions.
So many questions. Okay. The Huacha has hundreds of steel-tipped arrows with explosives on them. Daryl asks Leah if she believes that God chose them. Like, do you believe that muckety-muck that he's talking about? She says, he gave us something to believe in. Thanks, Poison. We had nothing to hold on to. He gave us something. And Daryl says, well, what about now? She says, doesn't matter what I believe now. And he says, it matters to me because I love you. He didn't say that, but his eyes said it. She gets googly eyes for him and says, do you ever think about what it would have been like if we never left the cabin? And clearly he does. He thinks about it all the time. Now, at that point, did you think, okay, she's going to be back with Daryl soon?
For a hot second, I thought, what's happening here? Are you playing her? Are you trying to get her to be nostalgic and reminisce? And I was like, but I think it's a tactical move.
Well, I think it was tactical. But she seemed to like, oh, do you ever wonder what it would have been like? Yeah, all the time. Because you're hot and he could have been having sex with you. But instead, he's getting his friends killed by your maniac friends.
Oh, man.
I wasn't sure how she meant this is what I mean. Leah says it's hard to watch the people you love change, especially when the people they love are hurting. It sounds like she meant Leah's watching her people die, but I think she also means, did she mean Daryl is watching his friends die? Did she think Daryl's friends were dying out there, that she thinks Daryl knows they're out there? And that
I think it could be both, because Daryl's changed and his people are dying, right, and her people are dying.
She looks at him like she's going to say something important to him. And of course, the walkie-talkie goes off. That is the new Site Impact bullshit, by the way. The walkie-talkie,
walkie-talkie
convenient
bullshit.
Timing bullshit. And I'm telling you now, they did it on World Beyond. We'll talk about it, maybe, if we do another episode. There was walkie-talkie timing bullshit. The writers are like, you know what we'll do? We'll have the walkie-talkies go off at the right moment.
At the exact time, every time.
Daryl stops Leah, who's about to walk off, and says, I have something to tell you. He just blurts. He's a blurter.
I know. What in the what, Daryl?
He says, there are people down there with the walkers, my people. They're here for the food you took, and they just want it back. There are people back home that will starve without it. They are good people with families. You can't let them die like this. So now, not only is she saying the people that have been murdering your friends, they're here. I'm friends with them, and they're coming to take back the food so your friends can starve.
And they're my family now.
So then she says, you lied to me. And he says, to protect my family. I'm sure you can understand that. Oh, yeah. She understands it.
Oh, she does.
She says, Carver told me not to trust you, but I wanted to so badly. What do you think is going to happen when Pope finds out? And he says, Pope doesn't need to know. I'm Daryl. I'm hot. You can come with me.
Yeah.
So then Pope comes out onto the roof. Perfect Pope timing. The two of them look awfully guilty. And Pope says, oh, my. What are you two talking about?
Oh, they did look super guilty. They look like they just did it or something.
And Leah says, family. And Pope says, ain't nothing more important. It's the only real thing we got left in this world. Then Pope says to Daryl, when this is done, I want you to find that woman and bring her to me. Meaning Maggie.
Uh-oh.
And Leah is staring him down and not saying anything. Cut to Maggie. She gets in a pickup truck and she can't find a key. So she hotwires it. And that's when the closed captioning says, the car starts.
Car starts.
Reaper walks by, but I already know the car starts.
Now, thanks,
Maggie is in the middle of nowhere, right? She's behind a building. Nobody's there. A Reaper comes by coincidentally. Even though there's a herd of walkers coming by the gate, he's back there doing what? Right? What's he there for? She starts the car, which has been sitting there for 100 years, till this guy walks by, and the engine starts up. The Reaper jumps on the pickup truck, right, before she can get away. And, of course, he falls off the truck. He's not a hero.
He's not a hero.
She drives the truck at a relatively fast rate of speed, points it towards the gate, and jumps out at the last second so the walkers can get in the breached walls. That was pretty smart of her.
That's a pretty badass move.
She badass. Again, for some reason, the handful of Reapers think they can fight the Horde and kill them one at a time. Pope orders his man on the roof to fire the arrows from the Hoacha into the courtyard. So Leah says, hey, man, our people are down there. And he says, I'm well aware, but we can't let the enemy know our plans and we can't retreat. Yeah, you can. Tell your men to run on the count of three after you lit the fuse, and they'll run and they'll be like, wait, why are those guys running? If he's a tactical expert, he could have figured that out.
Yeah, they're all military. If he says run, you run.
She says, please call our people back. And he says, God will protect them. And she says, what if he doesn't? So then typical, I don't have an answer, I can't explain the Lord kind of thing. He says, then it's their time to die. You're sending them to die.
You are. Pope is snapped.
Right. It's not God saying yes or no.
He's playing God.
Right. Okay. She says, you can't kill them. And he says, I can. The Lord speaks through me. That's when it's time to go.
This one, I was like, oh, shit, this man is truly deranged.
He says, you don't question the Lord, you don't question me. When you think you're the word of God, you gotta go.
It is now your time.
The guy lights the fuse on the arrows on the Hoacha. Daryl pulls out his double knives. Pope turns around like he's going to fight him. And Leah runs up and stabs him in the neck.
Shit.
This was a big stab him in the neck episode.
This is
cigarette
big
guy
stab.
Got it in the neck.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Right? Pope got it in the neck.
I'm sorry.
So here's where there's a problem. The guy who lit the huacha starts to run at Leah and Daryl. Now, do you think he was going to kill Daryl or Leah or both?
I think both, because they both were in on it.
Yeah. So Daryl throws a knife at him and hits him in the shoulder.
Ooh.
I guess he killed him. I think we're to believe he killed him.
I think he did too.
Daryl cuts the fuse to keep the arrows from going off. So at the moment, the huacha has been deactivated.
Love when you say that.
You do? Do you now? Angela Kang was asked if Daryl didn't throw that knife into one of Leah's Reaper brothers after she killed Pope, do you think she still would have turned on Daryl? And Angela Kang said, Daryl made a strategic mistake by killing a Reaper in front of Leah. Sure, Leah does kill Pope, and Daryl was right about Pope. Leah was at a place where she was willing to help because she saw Pope was too far gone. So Leah wasn't taking Daryl's side. At least she might have, but once he killed the guy in front of her, she said when he threw the knife into the heart, into Enchetta's heart, I guess he hit him in the heart, it became this reminder for Leah that, yes, I was right about Pope, but how many of my people have died because of Maggie coming back into the walls and Daryl apparently helping her?
Exactly.
How many more of my people are going to die? And at the end of the day, they both will always choose their families over each other. So do you think Leah made the right move?
By
realizing that she's got to protect the rest of her family, the five or six people are still alive.
I think she's so brainwashed from Pope and being in that mentality and that environment that she wouldn't be able to choose Daryl as much as she maybe have wanted to in her heart. I think she had to pick them.
She's choosing these dirtbags. Like Carver's a dirtbag who treats her like crap.
Carver was a piece of shit.
Right. Who of her brothers, like her favorite people, are dead?
Yeah, and no one truly ever protected her.
Right, but the people she claimed that she liked were killed episodes ago.
Exactly.
Smoking Guy is dead already. Pope's dead. Her friend that was killed by in the shopping mall, her guy, he's dead. So I'm not sure why she wouldn't pick. You'd pick Daryl.
I would. I would never save Carver's ass.
Right, but you'd save Daryl's ass.
I would save it twice.
And the rest of them. Maggie runs into the only Reaper by himself. Right, there's one Reaper by himself. She runs into him. And although he overpowers her, Father Gabriel shoots him with the sniper rifle from the window.
Oh, that was awesome. I actually clapped.
Did you? So the same way that Maggie saved Father Gabriel in the last episode of season 10, Father Gabriel has returned the favor.
I liked it.
I know you did. Pope is struggling for breath. He was stabbed in the neck, but he's not dead yet. Leah pushes him to the ground with her foot and
stabs
him in the back of the head.
Damn.
I would have thought she had some words for him like, I got to protect our family because you wouldn't. Boom. Something.
I thought she was going to have a final line, but she really didn't say anything.
You know, or maybe she would have like had white smoke come out of the chimney, symbolizing a new pope.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Throwing the religion down.
Yeah, throwing it down.
Throwing it down. Knowledge.
That was good. That was
spit
good.
Knowledge. I know that. I'm not even Catholic. I know that. That's an awesome, to me, that's an awesome visual. When they pick a new
pope. That would be, yeah.
Well, I'm saying in real life, it's awesome.
Oh, in real life, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Daryl tells Leah to come with him, and she doesn't. She gets on the walkie and says, Pope is dead, and Dixon murdered him. He's with the enemy.
Thrown under the bus.
Daryl says, why would you do that, girl? He didn't really say the girl part. I threw that in.
Damn, girl, why'd you do that?
Leah says he forgot what was important. Not war, people. You would do anything to protect your people, and so would I. Of course, she really wouldn't because she's not killing Daryl. She knows Daryl's going to run out and come back and try to kill them. She wouldn't do anything to protect her people. She would have killed him right then and there. Carver and another idiot show up on the rooftop. Carver says, I should have killed him when I had the chance. She says, close the gates. We're going to kill everything inside while we have the chance to. That could be Daryl also, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the episode and we'll tell you what the big news is from Talking Dead. And that'll be that. How about that? We can go rest your voice. So we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Pollyanna McIntosh, Jadis, a.k.a. Anne on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to David Brody and Jamie on the Walkers and Talkers podcast. I listen to them on the up, up, up.
Here we go. The final stretch. Back at Alexandria, the doors and windows are not holding, so they start sending everyone upstairs. Judith can't find Gracie. She's in the basement, and the basement is flooding. For some reason, she's down there alone.
Of course she is.
Lydia is the last person to be holding the door. Now, there were four people holding the door. They all ran upstairs, and Lydia is holding the door by herself.
Thanks, guys.
By herself!
I don't think so.
If she had her whisperer mask, she could have led them away, but she doesn't.
She doesn't.
Gracie's downstairs. Judith runs down there after her, and she said, I came down here to find a weapon so I could protect myself. And Judith grabs a broomstick handle and says, here, use this, stupid. I'm adding the stupid part.
Stupid.
Meanwhile, there's knives all over the table, and she gives her a blunt instrument
that needs
to be sharpened. It's not going to go into any walker's
head. It's
not
going to do anything.
By the time they come back upstairs, everyone has abandoned the first floor. Lydia's gone, and they run into all of the walkers that have come in the door. Because the walkers, for some reason, even though they could walk down the street, have decided to come to this house. Why would the walkers go to the door?
Oh, man.
Because it was rattling a little
bit,
maybe?
And up the steps, too.
Right. Up two steps into the door when they walked into a massive community with 30, 40 houses.
That's the house.
Like a good neighbor, the herd is there. So the girls run down back into the basement, and they lock the door behind them at one of those slide locks.
Yes.
Not the strongest lock on the door.
No, but... Something.
Maggie and Negan are fighting the walkers alongside the Reapers because there's a horde and they're trying to kill some of them also. And the Reapers get the call to fall back. And Maggie and Negan are like, why are they falling back? Why would they retreat? Have you ever seen any movie where people fall back for a reason that's anything other than they're about to set a bomb off? And they don't want to be there when you
Yeah, they don't want to be there when it's lit.
Right? I mean, there's always something like retreat, but why would they retreat? Like, why would they fall back? Wait a minute. What are we doing?
Maybe they're going to blow us up.
They could have guns. What happened to all the automatic weapons that they were carrying when they went into town looking for the people in the yellow house?
Exactly.
Where are all the guns? Nobody has any guns. They didn't shoot any of the Whisperers or the Walkers. Okay, so they both look up and they notice Leah is on the wall about to fire the rockets out of the... Whoa-cha. So the two of them aren't moving and they're staring at the arrows like deer in the headlights.
They're right in the freaking front row.
So the... rockets start firing one at a time as the fuses reach the rockets. They start firing.
Oh boy.
Now, we don't know if Maggie and Negan made a run for it. Like, look out! And they made a run. But they make it look like they stood there like idiots.
They did. Deer in the headlights. You nailed that. That's exactly there. Like,
Right. Now, I want to make sure I thank Trailer Guy because in the... I'm not going to tell you what they show. But now we have... How many cliffhangers do we have? We've got... We don't know if Aaron put out the fire. We
yes.
don't know if Carol and Connie were able to fix the wall. And by the way, quick reminder of two things. Remember Carol didn't want to fix the wall? She wanted to go looking for horses?
Oh, yes. She, yep. Horse meat.
And remember she thought that Connie hated her because of what Carol did with Alpha and setting off the bomb.
She caused the collapse.
She caused the collapse that trapped Connie. And they both are into Daryl, sort of. So when Connie said, I'll go with Carol, it sort of made it look like no hard feelings here.
Yeah, that's okay? What I thought.
So we've got that cliffhanger. We've got the arrows cliffhanger. We've got the Gracie and Judith in the basement cliffhanger. And T. White Sr. on Twitter, that's T. White 5689, he says, Daryl hasn't told a believable lie in several episodes, these folks, and there was no payoff to the whole Frost thing. Or whichever interchangeable red shirt guy he was, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know if he told Pope anything.
That's right. We never found out. I guess not, because Pope treated him like he was one of his own still.
Here's what I'll tell you, T. White Sr. Number one, I'm not going to reference the trailer, but the trailer does show a few of the people who you weren't sure would make it out of their situation. We do see them. So thanks, Trailer Guy.
Trailer Guy.
Number two, in Talking Dead, I'll jump ahead here, the actor who plays Pope was asked if Frost gave up any information, and he says no, because had he told me anything, I would have killed Daryl immediately, and I didn't, and I kept confiding in him.
That's
so
what
no,
I thought.
Frost did not give up the beans.
I think he just wanted Daryl to think something was up.
Yeah, or he was fucking with him, or
he was just mind fucking him.
Excuse me, young lady.
A mind fuck.
Oh, okay.
Mark explicit.
Talking Dead. I'm explicit. Talking Dead. Aaliyah Royale. Fancy name. That's Iris.
Fancy?
That sounds like a James Bond film.
It really does.
Aaliyah Royale.
It really does.
Yeah, well, it's Casino Royale, but that's why it sounds like it. Richie Koster, who played Pope, Scott McGimple, and Seth Gilliam were on the show. Seth Gilliam says Father Gabriel is no longer listening for the voice of God and realizes he must rely on himself. Now, a lot of people online were hoping that Father Gabriel got to meet Pope so they could be religious together. But that didn't happen. Also, did you notice we didn't see the Reaper priest?
Yeah, what happened to him?
Well, did Father Gabriel happen to him?
Very well could be. He was hiding in the bush.
We don't know. And he was weird with Maggie, remember?
He was. He's like, oh, I didn't see anything. Nothing to see here.
Richie Koster said this was his fourth character playing Pope that he auditioned for. He said he auditioned for Bob.
Oh, now, my God.
Now, I don't know if that means Bob the cop that Rick killed, or I assume
the dick cop?
Right. You should have just shut up, Bob. Like, just should have laid...
I love that line.
Is it Tainted Meat Bob?
That's what I was thinking.
I only thought of Bob the cop because he's white. I know they can cast whoever they cast, but they set up... Yeah, that's what it made me think of Bob first, was the cop Bob. But then I thought, no, Tainted Meat Bob.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of first, yeah.
But then I thought he was too old to play Tainted Meat Bob.
Yeah, he was.
Which is why I thought he was Bob the Cop Bob.
And that was right? Such a small role.
Bob the Cop was on a couple episodes.
Yeah, but like Pope is like really a character.
Well, he ended up... Oh, but he... Wait, there's more.
Oh, okay.
He also auditioned for Abraham and Negan.
Whoa!
Did you not watch Talking Dead, Jamie?
I watched part of it.
Okay, not this part, which was the beginning. Okay. The Walking Dead returns February 20th, 2022. They put up a poll. Were you surprised that Leah turned on Daryl? 30% said yes, they were surprised. I wasn't surprised. You weren't surprised.
No, I wasn't.
Chris Hardwick asked Scott Gimple if the CRM knows about Commonwealth. And he said, I can't really comment on that, but I think we'll find out later in the season if they do. And then he said, I guess I kind of just told you. Because you can't find out they don't know each other, right? What are they going to say? Boy, I know for a fact there's no other big communities out east around the Pittsburgh area.
Exactly.
Or we don't have any clue about some military organization out west or north, right? So they obviously know about each other, and we are going to find out. Maybe they're going to have a war.
Oh, shit.
Although
they have a lot
of people.
I
feel like the Commonwealth is where everyone's going to end up. I don't know. We'll see what they do or where Michonne was and who all those people were. We don't know who those people were either.
No, we don't.
No, we do not. Gimple says Jadis is still Jadis on the show, but she has new motivation and new loyalties.
Hmm.
And we will get a background story on the scavengers.
Oh, awesome. Maybe they'll
explain why she spoke that way.
On the up.
On the up. That's going to be exciting. We'll find out why Jadis spoke like that and how that whole group got together. And if they were like the farming community where they were accepted to go out, if you bring us back people, we'll let you live kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we'll give you food. You go on the outskirts and bring us people. Because, remember, they need live subjects. As referenced on World Beyond this week.
Yes.
When Lila asks for a pre-mortem subject. Pre-mortem, the opposite of post-mortem. So, alive.
Pre-mortem, that sounds so creepy.
Right. Now, what if they bring Rick in? I mean, they're not going to bring Rick in.
Shit, if they did.
They're not
going to
bring Rick in. Because then they have to have him escape. He's going to be on the show.
Yeah,
It'd be a thing. It's not going to be a thing. It's going to be a thing. Not that kind of thing. What was he? It was the hero man?
The nobleman.
Nobleman. Everyone's going crazy, screaming at their phones. Nobleman, Brody. Nobleman. Jamie, don't you listen to this podcast?
Oh, I do.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what they were saying. Yeah, we know. You didn't watch Talking Dead, though. Okay. Well, you didn't listen to the podcast when I talked about Daryl said he doesn't lick him. And you're like, don't forget. What about that
line? I really didn't hear you say that part.
That's okay. I forgive you. Either way, Jamie, your voice is in bad shape.
Thanks for putting up with the podcast.
Thanks for putting up with Jamie. I know you're listening going, boy, Jamie just brought everything down.
I'm so sorry, guys. I love you, but thank you for putting up with me today.
You know what? Luckily, I was here to save the day.
You did.
And do Scooby voices. And Grover and Miss Piggy.
And Yoda.
Yoda. I could do Tigger if you want. I've done Tigger, haven't I? On the
podcast. You did Tigger?
I've done Tigger, haven't I?
I don't remember.
That's what Tiggers do best.
He's my favorite character. I'm going to
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh. Jamie, you're a big fan of mine.
I love it. Okay. We should just do a podcast in that in different voices.
As Tigger? Well, that would be scrumptilicious. I got to be careful. I don't end up doing Daffy Duck, which is, you're despicable.
That's hard to speak like that.
It's harder to speak like Donald Duck. Like I can do the, but I can't.
Wow, that's, man, can't look do at Donald. You. Look at all this hidden talent.
Oh, I can do a lot of character cartoon voices. I just can't do, Donald Duck speaking.
Speaking.
I can just do him like it gets water poured on his head.
When he gets mad. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. When
right.
he gets mad
I can
and
do
he
that.
Gets like something dumped on him.
I can do Mr. Spacely from the Jetsons. I can do Rastro. Because Astro is very similar to Scooby.
Oh, the dog. Yeah.
Rauraz. Rook. When I thought his name was Tralfaz. That's a throwback right there.
That is a I saw him a lot of episodes, but I don't remember that.
Gee, Bert. Okay, we got to go.
On that note.
On that note. It's time, Jamie.
What time is it?
Time to shut that shit down it is. Well, you're not going to do that? Is Yoda? Just me?
No, that was no. I'm going to let that leg ride right there because that was amazing okay. The way you just ended that.
Goodbye, everybody.